Hey everybody, and welcome to Rider Club Radio. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
Today we're going to be talking about Kamen Rider Drive episode 45. We're not even in the home stretch anymore, we're on the last lap.
Damn close. So in this episode, everybody's dead, and the series is over.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Yeah, 7 out of 10 overall. Week. Pretty good season drive. I'm excited
tune
for Ghost.
Tune in next week for the Kamen Rider Ghost cast.
Ooh. Okay, no.
Ooh.
Oh, fuck off. Everybody is dead, but they're not really dead. There was a big explosion, and the rest of the crew are gathering up in the pit, and they're like, what do we do now that everybody's dead? And nobody seems super bothered by it, but they seem to think everyone's dead.
Yeah, nobody's really sad about it or anything. They're just like, well, what the fuck do we do now?
Yeah, Gen's like, everyone's dead. And everyone's like, yeah, it's a real bummer. What do we do? But the pit gets attacked by Roid Mutes, and the Riders show up, and they beat up the Roid Mutes, they fight all the Roid Mutes off. And everyone's like, oh, how are the Riders back? Turns out Maha used the dead heat power to, like, punch everybody out of the exploding tornado, and he took the brunt of the force. Everybody else got saved, though. So that's cool. But the pit is wrecked by Roid Mutes, so Chief takes the gang to a special backup pit that was organized by, dun-dun-dun, Hayase, the Broken Legs guy.
Yeah, I like how they have to have a little quick flashback to who he is. Like, remember this guy from, like, 20 episodes
yeah,
ago?
Yeah, it's been, like, 3 months since he showed up, but I'm really glad he's back. Just when you start to forget about Hayase, he shows up again.
Yeah, that is a fucking triumphant return. And there's a moment where they're like, somebody wanted to help so bad, and I was like, oh, Professor Harley?
No, you
like,
idiot.
A normal, like, young Japanese man's voice starts talking. I'm like, oh god, please don't let it be Ghost.
No, that I could get behind. No, Harley's never coming back. Never.
No, he's
for
not.
Some reason.
They've forgotten he exists.
He showed up. He was in, like, one episode.
Yep.
What the fuck? Oh, well. That's neither here nor there. So you have the backup pit. Banno has taken up residence in the special defense building that the police have set up. And the whole cop group plans a raid. Also, there's those CG spikes that you see in the intro that we've been seeing every single day in the intro. They're finally here. So celebrate.
Yeah, they actually showed up in the series. Who the fuck even thought that was going to happen?
About the champagne. I thought it was just like a thing that they scrapped. Like a special effect that they scrapped or something. But here it is, so.
I just thought it was something for the opening. They've had things that are just for the opening before.
Well, this is fucking weird. Anyways. So Banno takes up residence, the spikes are, like, creating a weird barrier around the building, and all the Riders are gonna bust in and beat him up, and all of his cohorts. They plan a raid, which is a really good final thing for a Cop Rider series.
It really is, yeah.
Fucking raid redemption up in here. But Go, since he took the brunt of the explosion, is hurt, his tummy hurts, and he doubles over, and he's like, oh, my tummy! And Chase is like, you know, you don't have to come and do this, Go, you're hurt, you can stay behind. And Go's like, nah, I gotta help. So they raid the base, there's a really nifty little action scene where they ride their vehicles and they fly past the spikes and there's some tire action, some tire extension stuff, it's pretty cool. They raid the base, they get in, and they fight Banno and a bunch of Roid Mutes, and Hart and Medic show up to help, and there's like, they all pose together, they all transform together. So if you thought Hart was still going to be a villain, I don't know why you would at this point.
No, but that's over.
All your hopes are quashed, and they all fight Banno, and they leave Chase and Mach to fight Banno, and the rest of them go to destroy the machine that's going to cause the second global freeze. So they run off, and they end up fighting more Roid Mutes or whatever. They get in another fight. That's the last we see of them. Chase and Mach somehow end up down in the parking garage, and they fight Banno, Gold Drive, and Banno beats the shit out of both of them, and Chase ends up sacrificing himself to save Mach. He takes the brunt of a blow after his belt gets destroyed, and then when he's about to blow up, he grabs onto Banno and just blows up. And again, just like with Brain, there's no ambiguity. You see the little 000 and it fades away, and Mach's like, fuck! And that's the end of the episode.
My best friend!
So Jeff, what did you think of Kamen Rider Drive episode 43?
Could they have put any more transformation sequences in this episode?
They had to fill, they got to the end of it and they had to fill like one more minute. And they were like, oh god, insert like four of them.
It's like, they transform so, like, it's only probably like three times or whatever, but they get knocked out of their transformations when they show up, specifically so they can transform with Hart and Medic.
Yeah.
There's no other reason for that.
usually when a rider gets knocked out of their transformation, it means they're done. That's, like, that's it for the scene. They're not going to just re-transform, because what sense would that make? But in this, that's exactly what happens here.
Yeah, it was also that they could fucking transform as a team. Drive, Sentai, Honk Honk, Injur had to transform together.
And it was a cool scene, but just the setup was a little clunky, I get.
Yeah, I didn't really have that much of a problem with it, honestly. This episode was action fucking packed.
Yeah, this episode was good. Not quite as good as the last one, but it was very, very good. I liked it.
Yeah, there was tons of motorcycle action and car action, which I always appreciate.
Yeah, most of it was CG, but it was pretty nifty.
It actually wasn't that poorly done this time, because they had the tire extensions around them, so it was like a blue, filter or a green filter instead of the horrible gray one they're always using.
You can't quite see how bad it is. It's worth noting, the spikes are up there, and there's one bit where Drive is, like, threading the needle around the spikes. That is the exact shot that we see in the intro. So they filmed that shit a year ago, and just now is it coming into play, which I think is hilarious.
I feel like they had to have done that just for the opening, right? And then they get to this point, and they're like, what could be outside the office of the Promised Land? What could be out there that could stop them? Holy fuck, the opening thing! We could just do that!
Some bright-eyed young intern is like, wait a second. I always thought, because they're like purple, right? They got like purple in them. I always thought Chaser was going to do it.
Yeah, I did too, actually.
But, that was gone as soon as he got the Maha driver. So, I just forgot about them, honestly.
But here they are. I'm going to be jumping around a bunch during this back and forth. But I want to point out that I thought it was absolutely fucking awesome that Chase's belt gets obliterated, and then he turns into Machine Chaser to continue fighting.
Yeah, he has the backup. It's one of those great points in, like, a movie or a show where something happens, and then you're like, well, why doesn't he just do this? And then he does. And, and you're like, oh, fucking great. Because, like, as soon as his belt breaks, you're like, well, he can just turn into Machine Chaser, can't he? Like, it's not a huge issue. And then he does. And you're like, oh, okay.
I didn't even know he could turn into Machine Chaser anymore. I thought, like, that was kiboshed when he got the ability to transform into Kamen Rider Chaser.
Yeah, it's still around, I guess. Still kicking.
Yeah, so I was shocked when that happened. I had a little holy shit hyped up moment when that happened, but I knew he was gonna die, so.
Yeah, we knew because they fucking gave it away in the last episode. Yeah.
I was hoping, if you listen to the last episode of RCR, you'll hear me, like, being like, oh, well, they double-bluffed us before once with Shinosuke dying. They might be doing that now with Chase, but they'll probably, like, triple-bluff and kill him anyway.
And yeah.
I was just hoping so hard that Chase would live, because he's my favorite. Nope. Now he's gone.
He's fucking dead.
Liam was right. Robots can't find love.
Yep. And that's not for them. Wasn't made for them.
Robots are meant to die so that teenagers can get revenge on their father.
I think the worst part is Bano doesn't even die.
No, he doesn't.
Like, if he had, then that would have been the last episode, but no, he's still alive, so he protected Go. It wasn't for nothing, but
yeah, fuck. Go gets a really hideous fucking upgrade next episode.
You saw that too, eh? Let's talk about that now, why don't we? What do you think of the Mach Chaser mashed together suit?
So, the suit budget for this show ran out like 10 episodes ago, didn't it?
I don't think they planned to have this many suits.
Like, at some point, they were just like, well, we don't have any fucking money left. Let's just, what are we going to do for the final episodes? Gold Drive, Mach and Chase's suit put together. We're done.
Oh, and don't forget the paintball.
Oh, yeah.
The paintball suit.
I like how they're wearing the chest piece from the Mach, the, like, mass-produced Mach driver or whatever, just as a chess piece, when they salute him, when they're leaving, they're all wearing the Mach driver mass-produced chess piece,
which is just
paintball pads.
But the Mach Chaser upgrade is one that I didn't even know what it looked like until, like, way after I watched the episode, and somebody contacted me, and they're like, yo, freeze frame on the next episode preview, and I was like, what? What's there? And I stopped, and I noticed it. Like, I didn't even see it before, but I noticed it the second time around, and I was like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it kind of blends in, because, you know, it's silver and white, or whatever.
Yeah.
But God, how cheap can you fucking be?
The thing, like, I get it, it's a very last-minute suit. I guess they wanted to have a final form for Mach that wasn't just, like, Dead Heat, which is just a stolen thing from Drive. But, they were working with what they had.
It's also Dead Heat, though.
It's kind of Dead Heat.
It's Dead Heat with a silver undersuit and gloves.
Yeah. It's just, like, I hate the Chaser suit. I've made my opinions clear on that suit. I can't stand it. And
it grew on me, man. It grew on me so much. I really like it, honestly.
Never grew on me. I can't stand it.
The body is okay. It's not the worst suit I've ever seen or whatever. It's just really boring and generic. But the helmet is fucking awesome. When you get into, like, the specifics of the helmet, like, you know how Machine Chaser had, like, part of an engine on the side of his helmet?
Yeah.
Kamen Rider Chaser has part of an engine built into his helmet as well. It's just the same color as the rest of the helmet, so you have to look closely to see it.
Yeah, it's got the same sort of asymmetrical design. The helmet is nice, but the suit just fucking ruins it for me. I can't stand looking at it.
It doesn't bother me that bad, but I understand why.
Yeah, I don't like it. And this is just that suit with the top of Maha's suit. So it's like,
It's two suits I don't like put together. The Dead Heat Mach and the Chaser suit.
Is it Dead Heat Mach? I thought it was just regular Mach on top.
I thought it was Dead Heat Mach.
Pretty sure it's... You know what? Let's look right now.
Yeah. I'm gonna pause the podcast.
No, don't pause the podcast. It's...
Go home, go into your kitchen and fix yourself a sandwich while we look the internet over for this image.
No, I'm fine. I'm doing it right now. Ready? Here it is. No, it's not. It's regular Maha on top of Chase. Looks bad, though.
I love regular Maha.
Yeah, but, like,
it's my favorite suit in the series.
I like pancakes, but if you put ketchup all over them, I'm not gonna fucking eat them. It's the same...
You won't even try! They could be delicious!
No, I'm not gonna try.
God. We're all learning what type of a guy Liam is today, I think.
Besides, I've already done the equivalent of trying this suit. That is, I've seen it in motion, and it sucks.
That's true. You don't want to get visibly ill at the sight of a suit. But here we are.
Yeah, well, at least we only have to put up with it for one episode.
Yeah, man, we're at the end of the road here, pun intended.
And it's done good. There was a lot of good action, not a whole lot of plot in this episode, but a lot of good action. The fight scene when the riders reappear was good. The scene where they break into the building was pretty good when they're dodging around the spikes. Awful, awful CG, as usual. But good,
it
like...
It was action-packed, though.
Yeah, good, like, driving, choreography, lots of fighting in this episode. And it was pretty good, and there was a nice heroic sacrifice at the end. I liked it.
It was a good episode.
Not a top-notch episode, but it was very good.
It wasn't the type of episode I hoped to see Chase... sacrifice himself in. I will say that, like, he didn't really go out all that heroically. If he would have taken Bano with him, that would have been really heroic.
Maybe, what if he did take Bano with him, but Bano's brain was also in the final? Oh, wait, no. No, you see Go fighting him in the next episode preview. That's not doable.
In the next preview, Go transforms and starts fighting him. But the thing is, it doesn't look like Bano is going to be the final boss anymore. Like, in the next episode, the fucking glowing ball turns into a Roidmude.
I bet Bano's gonna, like, be in there or fuse with it or something. I hope.
Oh, I don't doubt it. His belt will fly off and get on it or some shit.
Yeah, he's got that. He can just fly around as a belt. So, I'm sure that'll be it. I hope that'll be it. I'm having a lot of faith.
I do, too. I really don't want a monster of the week to be the final villain of Drive. It was bad enough that a golden version of Drive was going to be the final villain.
Like, we've said this before, if you're going to do a story, any story, really, it's nice to have the final villain be an entity that's present throughout the whole plot, so you actually, like, know who he is and you know what he's all about. It makes the final fight seem like it has a lot more meaning, because he and the main character have a history. If it's just something that appears at the last second... There's no emotion, there's no stakes, it doesn't matter.
This is a problem with Bano in general, is that he has absolutely no connection to Shinosuke. They have no real, like, plot thread between them besides Bano's a bad guy and Shinosuke is a good guy.
Yeah, I don't think they've had a conversation yet that wasn't just Shinosuke going, like, I'm gonna stop you, and Bano going, I'm really bad.
Like, Bano is more Go's villain than anybody else.
Yeah, he's the villain of the secondary, but he's also somehow wormed his way into being a main villain. If it was Banno, maybe in addition to a more personal villain, like Neera, even, fucking, I don't know. I'd take that, but it's just Banno. I miss Neera, too. Poor guy.
He's in all he jail. Wanted to
do, all he wanted to do was kill. Is that so wrong?
Can you possibly blame him for wanting to murder another human being? What's wrong really? With that?
It's we all want to do it.
He had the guts to do it. Neera's my hero.
No, oh.
Banno is Go's villain, and that's the only real like reason you hate Banno is because he just shits all over his own son.
Yeah.
Like in this episode alone, he tells him that he's like a failure, he's the worst thing he's ever done, like he makes him depressed to be alive that he shot out of his balls. He says that once in this episode.
Very unscientific line that he said. We're weird for a kid's show, but yeah.
Yeah.
Banno
is Go's villain, and Go will hopefully be the one who defeats him.
Hopefully, but probably not.
No,
I think the
might be a double rider type thing.
Maybe. That's a lot more plausible. But I think the shittiest thing about Banno is that he has scenes with Go, where he establishes his connection to Go. But what about Kiriko? Isn't Kiriko also his daughter? She doesn't seem to have any particular opinion on Banno. And Banno, I don't think he's even acknowledged her.
He really hasn't. Like, he let a bunch of shit fall on her and didn't even say anything about it. He wasn't even like, ha ha ha, now I'm going to kill my own daughter, or whatever. He just, like, caused a bunch of shit to fall on her, and he was like, peace.
I forgot. You like, it's really easy to forget that Kiriko is his daughter because he doesn't give a fuck. He looked over at Kiriko when the shit was falling on her, and he was like, oh god, it's her. Holy shit, what's she doing here? Oh, well. She won't be here much longer if everything pans out.
Well, she's dead, so it doesn't matter.
She's probably gonna die.
I'm gonna take off.
She'll be dead before I can, like, say anything, so the shit's falling on her.
Yeah, he doesn't acknowledge her whatsoever, just like the writers of this show.
Kiriko, for the last, like, 30 episodes, she's really gotten the shit end of the stick, hasn't she?
She really hasn't. She's in the hospital, and she's like, I can't sit around while this shit happens, I need to get out of here, and Shinosuke immediately calls and is like, hey, stay in bed.
Please sit around while this shit happens. I need you there.
Love you, boo.
I need eyes in the hospital.
Yeah, there's like romantic music playing while they're on the phone and everything, and I'm like, boy, I hope this scene doesn't last that long.
Oh, boy. That's, I think, one of Drive's failures, and even as it gets better, it's side characters. I know we've talked about this. It's side characters drop off.
Yeah, I will say this. In comparison to a lot of Rider series, the secondary characters at least do something. They don't just stand around and stare 99% of the time. They're, like, investigating.
That's true.
Or, like, shooting the Roid Mudes or, like, evacuating the people. They're not just like, oh my god, save me, Kamen Rider.
That's true.
So it's got that going for it, but it set sort of a higher bar for itself, I think, by having those characters do something that you felt like they should continue doing something.
And yeah, they couldn't keep it up. So, this is what we got. I'm looking forward to Drive's conclusion. I think it'll be explosive. I hope it'll be good.
You know, I think Kamen Rider Drive will drive into our hearts.
Was that supposed to be like a pun or like something clever? It was fucking awful.
I think the final episode is actually, it worries me a little bit.
Why?
Because of that new Roid Mude that showed up.
Sigma.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a literal Roid Mude, but it's just like the basketball thing given form.
Yeah, the basketball thing given form talks, though. Like, it introduces itself.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, he says, I am Sigma Ignition Complete.
Yeah. I really hope that Banno, like, fuses with it or something, and I hope, beyond hope, that Banno doesn't run into the room all, like, beat up and shit, and he's like, oh, my creation! And Sigma's, like, weak life form detected, destroying, and, like, kills Banno.
Oh, that's a very realistic prediction. Shit.
That scares the shit out of me.
While Drive's writers have been usually pleasantly surprising about important plot points, so I pray that they keep the streak going, but you are right. I'm very, very worried about the next episode.
I didn't mean to, like, you were like, I'm looking forward to next episode, and I fucking ruined
it. You just, like, introduced a whole universe of bad possibilities that I hadn't even thought of. Fuck.
It'll be great.
It'll be great, I'm sure.
It'll be great.
There's no chance of it being bad. Everybody pray with me.
Now we've set it up for ruin. This episode, though, has the saddest moment in Kamen Rider Drive in it.
What would that
be? And it's not that Chase dies, although that's sad. It's that Chase says, I know you could never think of me as a friend.
Yeah.
But here's this, and gives it to him. And fucking Go doesn't even say anything. He's just like, yep.
He's like, you're not wrong. You're not wrong, Chase.
He just doesn't say anything. It seems like he's going to say something, but he never does. So Chase dies thinking that Go doesn't think of him as a friend and never could.
I think he's just overwhelmed by guilt at that point.
Yeah.
Like, I would be too.
And that's a good character moment for Go, but, like, Chase is just gone forever, and he's friendless.
Dies alone.
Like, he has that moment where he looks at Shinosuke and Hayase, like, hugging or whatever, and he's like, this must be what true friendship means. And Go just laughs at him a little bit.
Yeah, you're a fucking robot. You're a loser.
No one's ever gonna invite you to prom, Chase.
Well,
and Chase dies friendless.
Pretty good episode, fingers crossed, for next week.
It's worrisome, man.
It's worrisome. I agree.
Could be good, though. Good episode overall, though. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the one previous a little bit more, but this one's still really good.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd say that's my opinion as well.
Now that we've spoiled absolutely everything, I recommend you go watch this episode.
A little late there, but yeah.
We got some news this week.
You've probably already seen it, but there are some videos of Ghost and Spectre on set doing action shit. One is of Ghost fighting a Monstar, and one is of Ghost fighting Spectre. And they're pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, you don't see much.
They are pretty cool.
We already know what Ghost looks like, and we've seen Spectre's suit now.
They're from really far away, but you get to see one of my favorite things now. And I saw it for the first time watching behind-the-scenes stuff from Kamen Rider Drive with Mach, and now I'm seeing it in Ghost's video.
Oh, are you talking about when they, like, jog in place to get ready?
Yeah, the suit actor, like, jogs in place to get ready. Like, he's amping himself up a little bit, and time it makes me laugh so much.
Like, if you go from standing and then straight into running into a shot, it looks kind of weird, like you're lunging into it, but if you start as, like, a little running-in spot and then go, it looks like you're coming out of a run into more run. So I guess it's just to make it look less awkward when they run onto the frame and attack.
It just makes me laugh.
It looks hilarious.
It looks like he's amping himself up, like, yeah, I'm gonna get this scene.
Yeah, it looks like he's pumping himself up, like, getting all psyched. But they're nifty little, like, no plot details, obviously. They're, like, 30 seconds each, but
they give you a little bit of behind-the-scenes look at how things are made. Like, before I started watching behind-the-scenes videos, like, the little explosions that happen when characters hit each other.
Oh, yeah.
I thought those were, like, put in post or something.
Oh, no.
But they're actually little fucking explosions
and
that
they
happen.
Sound like, and they sound like gunshots when they go off, too.
They sound a lot cooler than the sound effects in the show, actually.
Yeah, like when you drag a Kamen Rider sword across the monster, it's like, in the behind-the-scenes shit.
Yeah, in the behind-the-scenes shit, when they drag it, those are like three of them.
Yeah.
It's like, and it sounds awesome.
And in the show, it's going to be replaced by, like, swing or something like that. Something lamer. Yeah.
Something lame and weak sounding.
Speaking of Ghost, we also got a much better shot of Kamen Rider Spectre's outfit.
Oh yeah, some of our followers on Twitter have already learned that Liam has bad taste.
What are you talking about? I love Ghost's suit.
Yeah, Ghost's suit is great, and Spectre's suit is also great.
Yeah, Ghost's suit is great, and Ghost's suit is also great.
Oh my fucking god. Just imagine, like, back in the mid-2000s if we were doing this shit, and, like, the advertisements for Blade came up, and they showed Garen, and you were just like, it's the fucking same suit. It's the same shit.
It is the same suit. The helmet is cool, but the suit is the same.
It's the same suit because they're the fucking same type of thing, bro. And it's cool because it's a Kamen Rider 1, Kamen Rider 2 type of thing, where the suits are fairly similar, and they have similar powers, and the character is what makes them different.
I hope you're right, because I like the ghost suit. Like, I'm not super upset that it's so similar, but man, it is really fucking similar.
It is, and I use Rider 1 and Rider 2, although Rider 1 and Rider 2 are even more similar.
Yeah.
But the better comparison that I make is Blade and Garen, because their suits are almost exactly the same except small details and the head.
Yeah.
And it's the same with Ghost and Spectre. They're just different colors, and they have different heads. But I think Spectre is different enough that it creates a pleasant contrast while having the same sort of suit. But Liam is right, that's pretty much the same fucking suit.
I would have liked to have just like a... I wouldn't have minded a very similar suit, like hoodie and like spiky collar and everything, but a slightly different design. But this is what we got, and I guess it's not a bad looking suit. Like, it's not hideous, so I'll take it. But
it's not later drive suits.
Yeah, no, it's not type Technic. It's not. So I'll take that. But
I think it looks great, and I can't wait to see how the characters play off of each other, because in the behind the scenes footage that has Spectre in it, it shows Spectre protecting one of the Ganma?
Yeah. What? I don't...
So, I'm wondering what the hell's going on with that.
Ghost and Spectre are fighting each other for some reason, but, like, we already know their characters are going to be very different. Ghost is very laid-back, and Spectre is a very serious man. So, I imagine they're going to be against each other in some things, but to straight-up fight each other early on, that's going to be weird. I like it.
It's not too out of the blue or whatever for a Rider series. A lot of Kamen Riders start out fighting each other. The weird thing is that Spectre is protecting an enemy monster.
Yeah.
What is that about?
I very much look forward to seeing what that is all about, because it looks cool. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. And these two, this like lead-in episode that we're going to get with Ghost might make it so that we get a little bit of Spectre action earlier in the series, because we'll already have the introduction... The big introduction episode will be the first episode of Ghost, but we'll already have some of that information on Ghost in the Drive crossover episode.
Yeah.
That might get us to Spectre a little bit earlier.
Maybe. I hope so. I like Rider, inter-Rider conflict. Everybody knows that. So
yeah, Liam loves Edge.
I love Edgelords, and Spectre's looking like a good Edgelord, so I look forward to
him. He is. He has the face of an asshole.
Yeah, he has a very serious, dickish face. Like, he'd tell you to go fuck yourself if you asked him to hold the door for you while you were carrying something, or something like that. I like Riders like that. I can get behind that. So
Liam is not like that as a person, I'll point out. He wishes he was deep inside, but he's not like that as a person.
Yeah, I'm the guy who says it in his head. Not out loud.
He's like, you know, hey, hold that door. And he's like, you son of a bitch, while he's holding the door open. So that's all the Ghost news we have.
Yeah. The next year's Movie Wars movie is filming right now.
They do that shit way ahead of time.
Yeah, well, movies take a while. Heart, Brain, and Medic are going to appear. They have, like, black versions of their costumes.
Heart, Brain, and Medic appearing terrifies me, because we've seen their characters develop so much,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a little worried that they're going... Like, can you imagine... You see monsters return all the time from previous Rider series in movie crossovers and superhero Tysons and shit.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, cannon fodder who are generically evil.
Yeah.
And attack the heroes or whatever. Could you imagine that with, like, Heart, Brain, and Medic, who've gotten so much character development, that they just show up and they're, like, generic bad guy?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I'm thinking. They get back their outfits for the face actor. It's not the Monster Mash suits. It's, like, you have, like, Heart's coat and Brain's little, like, shirt.
Yeah. So, I'm not as much worried about this one, because the face actors are coming back.
Yeah, I think if they actually bothered to have the face actors there, they're probably going to do more with them. Like, I know what you're talking about with the monsters, but usually it's the Monster Mash, like, suit, and they come in and don't say anything, get their shit rocked.
Yeah, that's down the road. Yeah. That's what I'm worried about.
That's Movie Wars 2017. Look forward to that.
That's something somebody brought up at some point, and it's just, it's been on my mind since, like, Drive will be in a lineup of riders. Shinosuke's actor will be long gone. And Hart will jump out and, like, the voice actor for Drive will be like, "Hato!" And they'll start fighting like they're just bitter enemies and they hate each other.
Yeah.
Look forward to that shit.
That's what I was talking about last week, why I don't like how they have the writers back when they don't have the face actor, because you have this character who is so developed over the course of a whole show, and they're reduced to just standing in the background, staring off into space, while the main writer of the current series does all the shit. Yeah. It's weird, like, you... Porsche. Like, I watched through all of Stronger, and I saw that, like, that soul of revenge, and now he's just, like, sort of, like, standing there. Rider 1's transforming in front of him in Heisei versus Show, and he's just sort of, like, staring off to the left.
Yeah, he's just standing there, like, can I go home?
I hope the catering table isn't empty by the time we're done. I'm hungry.
I get paid 1/18th what the actual actor would get paid in this role.
I'm sure Toei exploits some loophole to pay them below minimum wage or something.
Oh, no doubt. John Toei's got a gold line in his pool.
Yeah, thanks for filming this movie. Here's your shiny nickel.
But this is Japan. Take it and leave.
Take it to the bank. Fucking.
So look forward to that. Maybe yeah. The next crossover movie will be good.
It's weird, though. It's like, imagine if the Overlords were in Movie Wars GP and they actually had speaking roles. Wouldn't that be weird?
Yeah, it would be weird.
I don't know. I'm...
It really depends on what actors they can get back. That's it.
Yeah.
If somebody, they'll ask everybody, hey, you want to be on our shitty crossover movie? And if they're like, I need a paycheck, you're in.
It wouldn't surprise me, considering, like, sometimes it's a really random assortment. And it seems like maybe it's just after they know who's in, then they start writing. You know, like, this person who came back, they get a speaking role, and they get a big role, and, you know, Stronger just gets to stand.
Do you think Fize is going to be in this one as well? Like, this is all he can do now?
Maybe. He was in the last two in a row. He's got one more, and then he's cursed for life.
Yeah. Well, he's cursed for life already if he does three Superhero Tyson movies in a row.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. I'm hoping.
I'd like to see him back again. It's always nice to see writer actors come back again. It means horrible things for their career, but it's nice to see him again.
Well, maybe they're just not acting anymore, and they're doing other successful things with their life. Maybe Fize's actor is a successful restaurant chef, and he took a week off to be in a Movie Wars movie. Just like, Black's actor. Black's actor runs a fucking restaurant now, so it's not like his career is in the shitter. He's doing his own stuff. He just came back for GP because he felt like it.
Wouldn't that be ironic if Fize's actor became, like, a really well-renowned chef when, like, every writer before him was a chef? And just went on to be actors. He was the only one who wasn't of that era.
Well, who knows? We'll have to wait until next year. We'll see. I can't say I'm excited because it's Movie Wars, but...
I'll have completely forgotten about this shit by the time it rolls around, so...
They're gonna put out the title, and it's gonna be this really incredible concept, and you're gonna be like, oh man, that's cool. I wonder how they're gonna fuck it up this year.
Superhero Tyson R... Kamen Rider versus the Moon. I'm looking forward to that shit.
Who would win in a fight between 2 billion Kamen Riders and the Sun? Place your bets.
Well, wouldn't that just be all Kamen Riders versus Kabuto then?
You. Movie Wars is so hard to fuck up. All you need to do is come up with, like, the title is the movie. You could say, oh, Kamen Rider Ghost versus All Riders, and then it basically just writes itself from there, but I don't know how they managed to fuck it so hard every year.
You're using the formula that they use, I think. Like, the movie writes itself. All Riders versus Ghost. Go. Hey, we need a script. Fuck it, All Riders versus Ghost. Go!
If they literally just said All Riders versus Ghost, that's the plot of the movie, it would probably be better, but they always overcomplicate it with a bunch of garbage. They always have to throw in an old, like, what, Neo Badan or whatever, and
there's always going to be... It wasn't even Neo Badan, it was just fucking Badan. They were still around.
Or Shocker. It's usually Shocker. You gotta shove Shocker in there. You gotta shove Rider 1 and 2 have to be in there, despite the fact that they almost never get their actors back. You gotta, I don't know, have, like, a stupid kid.
Here's the thing. Here's the fucking thing. They get Rider One's actor back. They fucking got him. He's on board. He's in two fucking scenes.
You know why, though? You know why that happened?
Because he's like 90 years old.
No, well, that and he's a real actor who probably requests a fair wage, unlike everybody else in the movie.
Absolute truth.
Like, if Fize's actor, if they snub Fize's actor, what's he gonna do? If they snub Colorado One's...
Febreze commercials?
Yeah, if... If they snub Colorado One's actors, like, okay, I'll just go to my, like, 17 other projects that I can go to whenever I want and that pay well. So, like, what? You can't afford them. Toei can't afford them.
You think Toei does, like, hourly rates for their actors?
You get paid by the line. If you're a suit actor, just fuck you.
Yeah. If I hear one of you motherfuckers say a word, you're fired.
Even a grunt. We'll be doing those in post. Keep your shit quiet.
We have one voice actor who comes in for 25 minutes and records grunts, and we just put him in.
Oh, God. Movie Wars. We're going to be on this for a while, aren't we? With GP out so recently. It's just, they're sad. They're sad movies. Even with...
Pathetic is the word I would use.
Yeah, even with GP, which is one I didn't hate as much as I usually do, it's still pretty bad. It's still a big sack of wasted potential.
It's a big sack of wasted potential, and it's not really that entertaining.
Yeah.
Is my real problem with it. If it was a big, dumb piece of shit, and it was still entertaining the whole time, I'd be fine with it.
That's the end goal of a movie, but the reason why the movies are so boring is because the plot and the characters are usually so boring. Like, you could have a lot of flashy action, but if your characters aren't someone you care about, then who cares about the action? You're just going to be waiting for it to be over.
I think you have to have a specific type of action in order to make up for your shitty characters, at least a little bit, to give people some sort of entertainment. And that type of action is not a giant field full of people doing basic martial arts attacks at each
other. Every final fight is so impersonal. It's just a bunch of suit actors waving their arms at each other, and you can't get close enough to see what's going on.
Recently, I watched the movie Masters of the Universe, which is a 1980s live action movie about He-Man, starring Dolph Lundgren.
And you think, hearing that wow, that's great. But the reality is a little different with Masters of the Universe.
Who listens to that and says, wow, that's great?
Dolph Lundgren as He-Man? That wouldn't excite you?
That's true. That's exactly why I watched it. And the thing is, the actors are awful in it. They have no characterization, except Frank Langella plays Skeletor, and he's fucking excellent in that movie. He knows he's in, like, an over-the-top movie, and he's going all at it, and it's great.
Yeah.
And the special effects aren't really all that good either. Like, there's a whole lot of, like, early, like, CG style stuff.
Oh, yeah. Really rough.
And it's really, really bad.
Yeah.
The action and the set pieces and the design and the aesthetic are fucking phenomenal, though. So I'm still entertained during this horrible movie watching it. And, I can't say the same for Superhero Tyson movies. There's a lot of shit happening. The designs of the suits are the same ones from the show, but, you know, I've seen all this shit before. It's nothing new.
Yeah.
It's repackaging a bunch of old shit and putting it on screen and not taking any time to add anything else to make it better.
Yeah, pretty much. It's and all the old stuff and bad CG.
It's better CG than you get in the show, but only just...
Yeah, that's not saying much.
It's only just better. I will say that the scene in Kamen Rider 3 where Fize and Mach fight each other is pretty fucking sweet.
Oh, yeah.
I was entertained during that.
That was awesome.
The race was horrifically unentertaining to me.
Yeah. You'd think in a series about people who ride motorcycles, a race would be a fucking no-brainer, but of course it's not.
The problem with it is, none of the characters are, like, taking an inside curve to get around somebody, or, like, doing some, like, dramatic skid around a corner to get past somebody. It's like, the car in front goes one speed, and the car behind it, like, goes a little faster and goes around it.
Yeah.
And then they'll get a car in the box, like, oh, no, you don't! And it goes around the one in the front. That's not racing. That's like, we needed to do this as slowly and precisely as possible so it doesn't look like we're going to hurt our props.
Yeah. People, probably because most of the people riding couldn't see because they were wearing the fucking helmets.
Absolutely true.
You know what was the biggest... I can't believe we've segued back into a review of Movie Wars GP like 3 weeks after it's out.
Is this just going to be every episode of Rider Club Radio from now on?
I guess so. The Rideron was fucking CG. They didn't have a real one.
How difficult would it be to put a fucking shell over a car with that design on it?
I don't know, but even if they couldn't, I would rather no Rideron than a bad fucking CG Rideron.
I agree. It looked like a cartoon. It's like Who Framed Roger Rabbit? The Rideron comes out.
It's because, like, every time... It looked the same as in the show. Every time they have to do a CG shot with the Trideron, when it has to do a flip or anything, it looks awful. And the Rideron looked awful as well. It's bad.
It's a bad movie. We should probably move on.
Yeah. We're not even done news. was just a huge fucking aside in the middle of news.
Tangent cast.
Wow. Oof.
Go on.
Okay, so we have a couple more plot details about Kamen Rider Drive Secret Mission Type Lupin. Remember that thing that nobody's excited for?
Please be excited.
So it's barely anything about this Kamen Rider Lupin special, but we know it takes place between episodes 42 and 43, precisely. Oh, the series head writer, Riku Sanjo, will write the special, so...
So it could be good.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't give a fuck about Kamen Rider Lupin.
Me neither. We've said this before. He's such a lame villain.
He has no real motivation whatsoever. And he could have the motivation of, like, I'm a master thief. I'm gonna fucking steal shit. But his motivation is, like, I'm the villain of this. I'm gonna beat up Kamen Rider Drive.
I'm going to steal the title of Kamen Rider.
Your action figure already says that shit. You're done.
Yeah, you don't need to... Everybody calls you Kamen Rider Lupin. You don't need to fucking go this far with your stupid plan.
Why is he Ultimate Lupin? Was that necessary? To, like, skirt around copyright? He can't be just Lupin. He has to be Ultimate Lupin.
Because he has surpassed all other Lupins and all other forms of fiction.
Yeah, tell that shit to Lupin the Third.
Look, is he Ultimate? Lupin the Third is cool, but is he Ultimate?
He is not Ultimate Lupin. You've got me there.
There you go. That's why he picked the name.
If there was, like, a list of things that I care about that went from, like, zero level, where I don't care at all, type Lupin the Special would be below that fucking level in the dark.
I'm still gonna watch it just for the podcast, but
I don't even know. I guess I have to watch it for the podcast.
I'll watch it and you can just bluff.
Yeah, I can pretty much figure what it's fucking about, so.
Oh boy. Nobody sub it so we have a good excuse not to watch it.
Do you think people would complain if Ultimate Lupin Special, whatever the fuck it's called, didn't get subbed?
Maybe like one person.
I love Lupin. Oh. He's shiny.
Oh, that's your opinion, but it's a bad one, friend.
I want to see shiny things dangled in front of my face.
He is very shiny, if you can say one thing about his outfit.
He's got a nice hat helmet.
I like his hat.
It's always nice to have a fine hat.
Yeah. Every thief's got to have a stupid hat, apparently. We found out a little bit more about Kamen Rider Ghost's dad. He's going to be played by Kazuhiko Nishimura, who is the Yellow Ranger in Live Man, if you remember Live Man.
You might.
And
Speaking of Super Sentai, I'm going to ruin your fucking moment here talking about news.
That was everything.
There is an actual perfect Super Sentai shot in this episode of Drive. I mentioned it earlier that they're basically fucking Drive Sentai Honkenger or whatever.
Yeah.
But when they all transform, the camera, like, goes to the side, and they're all lined up like the fucking poster for the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. That is a Super Sentai shot. It's in every fucking episode of every series. Was that on purpose, do you think?
Maybe. Maybe that's just Toei knows how to make Super Sentai real well, so if they got five people in a row transforming...
Maybe they couldn't help it, like, they were just compelled
to take that shot. It's probably in the contract somewhere for the cinematographer.
Are there five people? You better get a fucking line shot in. Your contract is terminated if you don't get at least one shot.
Ooh. Well, that's about it for news this week. That's all we got. Jeff, I hear you've been watching Blade. You want to tell us, you're only on, like, episode 6, you said?
I'm on episode 5.
5. So tell us, what are your first impressions of Blade? It's a bit of a... I hear mixed things about Blade. What do you
Blade
think?
Blade is a divisive series.
Yeah.
Some people love Blade, and some people hate Blade. So far, Blade is really loud. That's my first impression I have of it, like, right up front, is that there's always, like, fucking sirens blaring, or, like, loud whooshing sounds, or, like, when people move and attack, like, their suits are clunking around louder than they're fucking talking. Somebody's always yelling. It's loud, man.
Yes.
I'm old as fuck, apparently, when I noticed that first. Ah, it hurts my ears.
Do you think maybe that's one of the reasons why the entire series is a meme in Japan?
The entire series is a meme because the main actor slurs his words horribly.
Yeah, like...
So, I would hate to be the person subbing this series. Like, I'm watching some subs now that are pretty subpar, and a lot of the content gets muddled anyway, but God, I would hate to be the one who subs this series. Like, he's just slurring his words. What the fuck is he even saying? So that became, like, the meme. They would take big, giant phrases he said that he would compound into, like, two words
I've seen some of the videos. There's a lot of videos on YouTube where they make little music videos out of lines spoken in Blade. And even if you're not a native Japanese speaker, it's really obvious that he is just, like, he's running the words together as hard as he can. Not a single pause there.
There's a lot of betrayal. Everybody's always betraying somebody.
Really? 5 episodes in?
Yeah.
Like, Ryder is betraying?
1 episode in, man.
Jesus.
Straight up.
That seems a bit early.
People are betraying. There's a scene where Blade himself, Kenzaki, is, like, sitting with his friend whose entire personality seems to be that he likes milk.
Okay.
They're hanging out, and he's like, how many times have you been betrayed?
15, and how about you?
Milk guy's like, what? He says, you know, how many times have you been betrayed? I've been betrayed a lot, I'm an idiot, and I trust people too easy. And he's like, oh, well, I like a guy who gets betrayed 100 times better than a guy who betrays 100 people. And I'm like, is this what this series is going to be?
I think that must be, like, one of the main themes if they're going to talk about it like that.
Yeah, I guess it does. The action is alright. It really is very stylistic. Like, I did that stupid write-up about the differences in style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's super stylistic. And I knew that. Like, one of the biggest things is that there's always, like, a spotlight in the background just having a fucking herky-jerky fit going everywhere.
They spent real money on that. They gotta use it.
The acting ain't so hot. It takes a lot for me to realize that a Japanese actor isn't doing well because I don't understand Japanese, so I don't understand the nuances of performance or anything.
Yeah, you don't understand, like, how the tone of voice is supposed to be or how it's supposed to sound natural.
Yeah, and that's how you usually tell whether an actor's shit or not, whether they sound like a normal human being when they're talking.
Yeah.
And I can't tell usually, but, like, if you watch Shuriken Sentai Ninja, you can tell the Red Ranger is a fucking terrible actor. Straight
up. Seriously.
And
I feel bad for him.
He likes the role. He seems to be having fun.
But nobody has nice things to say about them, and
no.
They're right.
He's handsome.
He's pretty cute, yeah.
But Blade's actors all seem really bad. Maybe it's just like a beginning of the series thing, and they'll hit their stride. I'm enjoying the story so far.
Yeah.
And the action is all right. There's a whole lot of grabbing and falling on the ground. Kenzaki spends, like, every episode on his ass. on the ground. Like, he's just terrible at being a rider, so I'm looking forward to seeing him develop.
Yeah.
Overall, so far, it's kind of tough to keep interest in the series a little bit.
Yeah?
I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm so focused on Drive right now.
Yeah, that might be it. I don't know. I have a question for you.
What's that?
I know about the betrayal in episode 1. Is it jarring, or do they do it well enough that it doesn't... Like, usually you establish a character a little bit so that a betrayal actually means something. But if you do it in episode 1, it seems a little early. Does it feel...
It's jarring.
Is it? It's jarring?
It's absolutely... It's jarring because you don't know these characters at all.
Yeah.
Like, I'm supposed to feel bad for this guy that got betrayed that I met, like, 10 or 15 minutes ago?
Yeah,
I don't know who this guy is.
I feel like it's early. I feel like a betrayal should be after the characters are at least established.
Like, they don't even explain what the fuck Board is in that episode. They just work for this organization. And this guy betrays said organization.
I think everyone knows who it is. I think you can say it.
Alright, Garen betrays this organization. And...
It's episode 1.
Why am I supposed to care?
I don't know. It seems a bit of a rocky start.
Yeah, that might be why I'm having trouble getting into it really heavily. The suits look really cool. The monsters are pretty alright. The cinematography is pretty damn cool. It's, like I said, it's like an independent movie kind of cinematography where they're taking chances with how it's shot. And some of the shots fall flat. And some of them are kind of, like, headache-inducing.
Yeah.
But some of them are really awesome, and some of them really set a mood. Like, the one that gave me a headache is they keep doing this extreme close-up of the head of Board with, like, the sun directly behind his face.
Mm.
So it's just really bright, and you can't make anything out on his face. And it just kind of hurt my head to try to focus on what he was doing and what he was saying when it was so bright.
Yeah. That's, I think, one of the things I like about pre-decade Heisei, early Heisei, I guess you can call it. Because, like, they felt a lot more distinct, and they did weird shit more often.
Yeah.
They took weird risks, and it didn't always pay off. Sometimes it was weird, but sometimes when it does pay off, you get some really crazy, awesome shit.
It gives you, like, a feel for that series, that each series feels exceptionally distinct.
Yeah, like, Kuga is, like, a completely different series from, say, Ryuki, even though they're practically right next to each other, they're so close.
Yeah.
But they, like, everything from the sound, the camera, to the writing, the tone, just totally, totally different.
I think there were a lot more chances to be taken then, because it wasn't such a big business at the time.
Yeah, I guess not as big as it is now. Like, it's tough to argue that early Heisei is more toyetic than it is now, because it's way more toyetic now. I understand.
Oh, yeah. There wasn't so much riding on it at the time, because it was a rebuilding period for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And there were periods where it kind of tanked a little bit, and it didn't matter all that much, so they kept taking chances.
Yeah.
And eventually they got to a point where they were like, look, we have to standardize this shit. We have to figure out what works, and we have to keep hitting it because our sales are not going up.
Yeah, find a safe formula.
And that safe formula is pretty awesome.
Yes, it hasn't been working for sales for the last few years, though. Since
no, it hasn't.
They've been going down and down and down. Experiment.
That's really based on the toys you make.
Yeah.
If you make shitty toys, no matter how safe your series is, no matter how much it follows the formula that's made you money in the past, people aren't going to buy shitty toys.
I don't know if it's entirely dependent on the quality of the toys, though. Like, look at Gaim, alright? Loxies were cool as shit. We've established that. Gaim was a very popular, very well-liked series. No matter what you think of it, it's hard to deny that it was a pretty popular series. And still, its toys were down from Wizard.
I think that might have something to do with, in general, toy sales are down in Japan. There's a really, like, heavy-handed motion right now. Like, companies are trying to grab up as much of the toy sale market as they can because it's disappearing, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there might be an upheaval at some point in the toy market, which will affect Kamen Rider pretty heavily.
I hope so. You know what? I hope shit gets shaken up, because we talked about this a few weeks ago when we found out the plot details for Ghost after the conference. Mm-hmm. That it seems like it's not really going to break the mold much. It's got a lot of the same archetypes that we've seen before, yeah. And it's probably going to follow a similar structure. I just want a Rider series that's just completely different. Even Gaim had a different, like, totally different pacing from anything post-decade. Mm-hmm. Still wasn't super different.
It used a lot of the archetypal, like...
Yeah, it just had much smoother characters. Pacing. Yeah. So I'm hoping maybe toy sales will, like, during that upheaval of toy sales, since they're so important to Kamen Rider, will maybe lead to an upheaval of the show and just a complete turnover. That would be nice. Just a little shake-up.
I could see that. You know what's funny? When I was doing that write-up about the differences between early Heisei and, like, post-decade Heisei, it's... The one thing that stuck out to me the most that I didn't really want to point out because it's so simple, it almost sounds stupid, is that early Heisei series shot at night a lot.
Yeah.
And that added this sort of, like, this is behind the scenes. Normal people don't know about this. It's like a secret world kind of thing to it. And it made it seem more dangerous that the monsters were out at night, or hunting at night.
Not just that, but it also feels more real that, like, not everything happens when it's full daylight out. Sometimes the characters are, like, going out to get some noodles at night and a monster appears, and that's just how it is if you're a fucking superhero.
Yeah. It added variety as well. It's a variety in locale.
Yeah.
If you shoot at the same bridge, the same underpass, the same rock quarry, at least shoot sometimes during the day and sometimes at night.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. Because Kamen Rider is no stranger to revisiting locations.
No. the same parking lot building.
Yeah, that underpass. Yeah. It gets to the point where once you've seen enough Kamen Rider, and Sentai too, Sentai does it, they interchange, where you can see, like, oh, there's, like I said earlier, the Grongi Museum, or there's that underpass where that thing happened, like, 10 seasons ago, or whatever. And it's like a game within the show to find all the shit that they reuse.
There's only so many locations in and around Tokyo.
I guess, yeah.
That you can get to. And I understand that. But like I said, it's the difference between shooting at night and shooting during the day. Can make that big of a difference in the way a series is presenting itself.
Yeah, excuse our stupidity, but why don't they shoot at night anymore? Do you know, Jeff?
I have no idea.
Actually. If anybody has any idea, please tell us over Twitter.
If I had to venture a guess, I would say it's more costly to shoot at night because you need lighting. You need to light the sets yourself.
You have to light the sets, and I imagine the suit actors have a harder time seeing, maybe?
Yeah,
because their vision is already very obstructed. Yeah. That's a shame, because they're, like, a lot of good scenes are shot at night.
Like, the beginning of Blade happens inside of a fucking cave. It was pretty awesome. Like, they're in an actual cave fighting. And the lighting is really ambient. There's, like I said, there's a spotlight in the background going nuts.
Yes.
Yeah. It just sets a mood. And people say that early Heisei series were, like, darker than modern Heisei series. And I think that's literal in some cases. They were just darker.
Yeah, no kidding. Maybe that lends to the feeling. Like, Ryuki was a pretty dark series where you get more night scenes than modern Kamen Rider did.
Any night scenes are more, usually. The only time they shoot scenes at night is, like, in this episode of Drive, there was a scene at night, but they were just standing outside of a garage talking.
Yeah, it's true. It's like, looking back on Drive, I have a really hard time remembering nighttime scenes, whereas looking back on earlier Heisei series I've seen, I have a much easier time.
I have a hard time remembering scenes during Agito that are during the day, because all the night scenes stick out in my head so much.
Yeah.
And it just seems like it's something they should bring back, you know? I miss it. Yeah.
This reminds me of something. I want to talk about this real quick. This is barely related to anything you just said, but it reminded me.
I'm going to tune out.
Okay, thank you. When I first started watching Ryuki, before I was watching it, it was sort of a joke. Tatakai is the big joke about Ryuki, that a lot of people say Tatakai. And I thought everybody was joking, but I thought they were, like, stretching it too far, or whatever, that Kanzaki Shiro is constantly yelling at people to tatakai. And I started watching the series, and in, like, episode 2 or 3, pretty early on, Kanzaki Shiro appears to Ryuki, the main rider, in a mirror, and he tells him to fight. He says, tatakai. And I said, okay, that's funny, that's him saying that. And then Ryuki recalls it the next day, and when he's remembering it, you hear in his mind, he's remembering Kanzaki Shiro saying it, and it's like, the audio of the show is like, tatakai, 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 and I was like, Jesus, they weren't joking.
No, it happens show, absolutely it's, fucking it's all constantly. Over the place
with it.
He's like fucking Shang Tsung in the Mortal Kombat movie. No kidding. He's always fucking yelling for people to fight.
I remember it because that scene where he appeared in the mirror was at night. It was Shinji like walking home from his job or something, and he appears in public in the mirror.
I miss those days.
Yeah, it's a shame. Maybe someday.
Those days when I wasn't watching Kamen Rider and there were no subs.
Those days like just a couple years ago when you were watching those series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's all we got for today.
So we have Twitter, that's at Rider Club Radio. We've got an email, that's riderclubradio@gmail.com. Shoot us a Twitter, shoot us an email, do whatever you want.
Just shoot us your Twitter. Send us your Twitter in the mail.
Wrap your Twitter handle around a little bullet and fire it in our general direction. I live in Canada, so just shoot north.
Shoot up.
Shoot up. It should hit me eventually.
And then the world will be rid of its most evil human being.
Ugh. They're not shooting at you. It was a clumsy turnaround, but I managed it.
This is the level of discourse that we have, ladies and gentlemen. No, but shoot us tweets, send us an email. We might just talk about it on the air.
Who knows if it's really good. We find out a lot of good stuff from actually tweets and shit. People like the ghost videos. People are just like on top of that shit. And they're like, hey, Rider Club Radio, here's a new one. And it's like, shit, yeah. We find out about it right away thanks to you guys. So keep doing that. We love it.
Yeah, we fucking love that. That's how I found out most things, because
we both have jobs, so we can't... A lot of the time we miss shit, or we're sleeping. So it's nice to just wake up and have it right there in the Twitter. So it's super...
Sleeping like cowards.
Super convenient. So keep if you do, keep doing that. It's good.
And we love interacting with you guys. We might not do it as much as I would like. Sometimes I'll ask a question on Twitter... And then I'll just fucking fall asleep, like, 10 minutes later, and I'll wake up and there'll be, like, 30 responses or something.
That's one of my favorite things to do is to go on the Twitter and just ask a question, and you get surprisingly insightful things sometimes from people.
Sometimes you get fart jokes, which are just sometimes, as good.
I like those as well, yeah. So, yeah, follow us on Twitter. We love you.
Yeah, we have a lot of people listening to this who don't follow us on Twitter. What's your fucking malfunction?
Yeah. Do you have an excuse? If you don't have an excuse, do it right now.
Just send us an email with your excuse, 500 words or more.
You were going to say 500 words or less.
I realized that wasn't tough enough.
500 words is pretty, that's pretty lenient, honestly.
Yeah, honestly, I don't want to read any more than that.
Yeah, me neither. Ugh.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
See you.
Peace.
I'm not the only one.